Our scripture today is from Galatians 6, 7 and 8. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. The question of injustice has puzzled thinkers down through the ages. And so long as we see life from a very narrow perspective, we are going to see what appears to be evidence of injustice. We see people going through various experiences. We may feel that they are suffering injustice at the hands of others. Often this leads us to have a rather strong crusading spirit. We have that desire to overcome what we feel are conditions of injustice. Even in our outer world, we find many people having very mixed feelings about justice. We have a system of courts designed to supposedly bring justice into the lives of those who deviate from the law. And yet, we know that even so, it is very difficult to make sound outer judgments, to always be assured of exact right actions. As Emerson wrote, one man's justice is another's injustice, one man's beauty, another's ugliness, one man's wisdom, another's folly. Also, it is as impossible for a man to be cheated by anyone other than himself as for a thing to be and not to be at the same time. These two ideas give us considerable food for thought. We need to give some thought time to this question of injustice. But in order to do so effectively, we must extend beyond the ordinary way of looking at things. We must move beyond being confined to the outer world of appearances and the sense perception, and look at life from a greater perspective and from a longer point of view. Many of you, I'm sure, grew up in Sunday school or had some Bible stories that you are familiar with, and one that has been a favorite for many people is the story of Joseph. Remember Joseph with the coat of many colors? Joseph was a favorite son of Jacob, the 11th son in a family of 12. And he was a very special son because he had been born to the wife that Jacob had worked 14 years before he was able to marry. But Joseph was a rather unusual young man. He would be known as a dreamer. He had a lot of tendencies toward being rather impractical. And I'm sure none of you can identify with that, but nevertheless, he had a lot of great ideas, but seemed to not do a whole lot to put feet under those ideas, but he talked about them a lot. And as so often happens, he antagonized his brothers. And the seemingly final blow came when he explained to them this wonderful dream he had had in which they were all bowing down to him. And knowing older brothers, I'm sure they were not impressed at all, in fact, wondered what in the world they could do to get rid of this little character that was creating such a problem. And soon after that, they were out in the fields with his brothers. They were working. It's questionable whether Joseph was doing anything or not except being a nuisance. And a caravan came along, so he ended up being sold by his brothers into slavery. He was sold for 20 pieces of silver. They returned home and told his father that he had been killed by a wild animal. But thus for Joseph began a series of what we would think of as tremendous problems. It seemed like one negative thing after another happened to him. So he finally ended up not only being a slave, but then as a slave, falsely accused, he was imprisoned. And imprisoned unjustly because he had not done what he was accused of doing. It would seem that Joseph had every right to be angry, to be bitter, to be resentful. And yet he seemed not to be. Joseph went along his way, even when he was imprisoned, of still being that dreamer and an interpreter of dreams. When Pharaoh discovered that none of his wise men could tell him what his dreams meant, he had them killed. After all, they were supposed to know these things. Then came the rumor of this young prisoner who was able to give some meaning to dreams. So he sent for Joseph, and Joseph related to him what he felt the dream had meant, this recurring dream. And it indicated that there were to be 7 years of prosperity. 7 years in which the country would enjoy an abundance of all good things. But these 7 years were to be followed by 7 years of famine, in which it would be too dry to grow things, the crops would fail, they would not have very much. So the next thing that happened was, Joseph, as one who interpreted the dream, seemed to understand what he was talking about. So he was given a position in Egypt, and that position was a job to prepare for the 7 years that were to come during the 7 years of prosperity. So everything went well, and he did exactly that. He prepared, they put away their crops, they got everything in order so that there would be abundance for the people to live on during the bad times. And then when the famine finally came, it not only affected their country, but it affected others around them. It affected the land of Canaan from which he had come and the land of his family. And what ended up happening was his brothers came into Egypt to request food and grain. And it was granted to them. Joseph was the one in authority who had the power to say no. Here was the perfect opportunity to get back at these monstrous brothers who had done this dastardly deed. But he did none of those things. He simply sold them grain. He recognized them, but they purchased what they needed. Then they came back a second time. And the second time, he demanded that they leave with him their younger brother, Benjamin. And you can imagine then the consternation of these older men. They could not do that to their father. After all, he had lost his favorite son, and here was the second one. So they then told him who they were, and he told them that he already knew that they were his brothers. And he gave them what they needed. And when they were very apologetic for what had happened in the past, he made a statement that is an important one as we look at the whole question of injustice. He said, "You may have meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." Joseph did not dwell on the bad experiences, the hard experiences of his past. He even indicated that he believed that God had erased the past from his mind. He was not resentful. He was not bitter. He was not angry and looking for ways to get back at all. Obviously, Joseph saw things from a different perspective. He was not willing to wallow in self-pity. He was not willing to believe that these terrible brothers had done this terrible thing to him. He had no time for that. because he had a vision of something greater. If you go back and study the dreams he had earlier, the ideas that he was sharing even as a young person, you find that always he had seen himself as an important person. In his mind, he had seen himself as being that person in authority and in charge. And sure enough, he was. Even though he started out as a slave, he ended up as what would be, in our terminology, the prime minister of Egypt. Because he was not held back by a resentful, angry attitude. He was not held back by concerns about justice or injustice. He simply held on to his dream, his ideal of being that important person, being in charge, and doing something that would be of help to his world in those days. Since we do not ordinarily see beyond just this particular life experience, we tend to make very short-term judgments. And certainly when we make short-term judgments, we have every evidence of injustice. But the key is to never keep our attention on the injustice, but on what we can do and how we can become all that we are capable of becoming. In truth, we each reap the harvest of our own consciousness. And that's a little hard for us often to accept, because if we are involved in injustice, then we are reaping the harvest of our own consciousness. Whatever seed we have sown in our minds, regardless of the conditions that brought this about, or the reason for our beliefs, whatever seed we have sown in mind, we reap in our outer world of experiences. Universal law is always very just. And if we learn to live well, starting to understand this universal law, we could be assured of living a happy, a good, and a fulfilling life. There are some who would have you believe that you will have a judgment day after death. And during that judgment day, you're going to have to answer for all these things that you did not do that you ought to have done, or the things that you have done that you ought not to have done. But if you really look at life from a long-term basis, every day is a judgment day. We are constantly getting back what we've been giving out. Maybe not yesterday or the day before, but that which has gone on collectively within us over a period of time. We continue to receive back in life according to the seeds that we have planted. One of the problems that we often have accepting this is that as we look upon our life, we may see that some of the things that we're receiving back are certainly not good, and we haven't even been thinking along those lines. But remember, seeds have been sown. We sow seeds through our attitudes, do we not? Should Joseph had stayed in bondage to his past, can you imagine over a period of 10 or so years what a big case of resentment he would have had? And what a great day he would have taken to gloat over his brothers and not feeding them when they needed it? But he did none of this. He did not allow his resentment to build. This is important for each of us to consider also, because it's easy to allow negative feelings to build within our mind, is it not? I suspect at least one or two of you have had this problem of attitudes building, even when you thought you weren't consciously letting them happen. and often they hang on, sometime for lifetimes. You find a child that comes into the world and go angry and goes out angry because they have not dealt with feelings, either as a child or an adult. Every day, our consciousness is being revealed in our life's experiences. And of course it's more comfortable if we can blame others, because that doesn't demand anything of us, does it? It doesn't require anything when we can look at conditions that are less than good and simply hide behind the belief he or she is responsible, society is responsible, or somebody else is responsible. There is nothing or no one that can hold you down in life but you. It has so much to do with that vision that you entertain within your own being. And begin to consider, what type of vision of yourself do you have? Even though Joseph's vision was somewhat obnoxious when he was a child, he still was on the right track because he saw himself in charge of his life. He saw himself as being in authority and being in control. And because he did that, he had no time to play the game of self-pity, and he certainly had every reason to pity himself. He had no time to indulge in bitterness, although we may outwardly think he had reason for doing so. He was too busy living in the now, experiencing life to the very highest that he could on a day-by-day basis. But remember that the seed are not only planted in outer actions, seed are planted within our mind. And through seed that we plant within our mind, we build the type of consciousness that brings forth our outer world of experiences. Can you then see why the importance of being very alert to the type of thoughts that you are thinking? Taking that time and making that effort to become very aware of what is going on within your mind, in your thinking and your feeling nature. It pays us to analyze our thoughts from time to time. The belief in injustice, the feelings of injustice, can only do one thing, and that is harm us. They can interfere with our well-being and our progress in life. The belief in injustice will attract situations that prove your belief. The more you believe in injustice, the more conditions and circumstances of injustice you will have to deal with. Jesus said, "According to your belief is it done unto you." So if you believe that injustice is all around you, then what are you going to do? That you're going to be constantly moving into the situation that proves the validity of your beliefs. Rethink your beliefs about the idea of justice. We are not dealing with an arbitrary God that doles out rewards and punishment. We're dealing with universal law. And we are getting back that which we give out. You see, Joseph represents for us one of our spiritual qualities called imagination. He used his imagination in such a way that he went to the top. He used his imagination to see himself in a leadership capacity. Joseph believed in the goodness of God. Otherwise, he would have never said that God meant the whole situation for good. Ask yourself if you believe that you have been treated unfairly, that you have been the victim or are being the victim of injustice. You feel abused and misused, cheated out of what you believe is your righteous due in life, or even taken advantage of. If you have any of these feelings or thoughts, it is important to prayerfully take the time to begin to come to terms with them and rethink them. To rethink them in view of the knowledge that in God there really is no injustice. That we're living in a totally just universe that is returning to us that which we have been putting into it. Go to work prayerfully to overcome any belief in injustice. We are constantly reaping the results of what has gone on before. Every person is constantly reaping the results of what has gone on in consciousness before. You can overcome that belief by decreeing that God's divine law of justice is at work in your life. Whenever you face a situation that seems to be lacking in justice, keep right on decreeing that God's divine law of justice is at work in and through you. And it will help you cleanse out any area that creates problems. Take control. No longer let thoughts or words reflect attitudes of injustice. You are the only person who can control your thoughts and your words. You can take charge right where you are. So what if the past has reflected injustice? So what if the past has been less than good? You are not living there today, are you? And the only way you can live there is in your mind. So you can be free from the past through the activity of your mind as well. As Joseph did, give the most to life right where you are. Do the very best that you can on a day-by-day basis and see that you do that not only in your actions, but in your thoughts and words as well. Then you can be assured that you are building the type of consciousness that will attract the right things into your experience. In addition, imagine the best. Take time to imagine that wonderful things are on their way to you. Do you believe that? Or do you just keep looking for trouble? You know, a lot of people look for trouble and then they wonder why they get it. But imagine the best. Whenever you're facing a difficult situation, instead of worrying about the worst possible thing that could happen, imagine the best possible thing that could happen. In this way, you are taking control of your imagination. You are setting in mind the pictures that enable you to move toward their fulfillment. Imagine yourself as you desire to be. See yourself in mind as happy, healthy, wealthy, with all the qualities of good you desire. There's nothing wrong with that. Where we are at the present moment isn't only an indication of where our imagination has taken us up to this point. But we certainly don't need to stop there. Imagine yourself as being in control of your life instead of being subject to all sorts of outer things. And then let all things reflect the quality of love. No more condemnation of either yourself or others. So often when people condemn others so strongly, it is usually because they are condemning themselves and have condemned themselves long ago. And this is only a reflection of attitudes toward themselves. No more animosity, resentment, or anger. This is not to say that you won't ever feel anger for a moment, but you don't have to indulge in it. You don't have to nurture it and care for your anger. You simply get rid of it. Because you see, these things show the lack of love. And as you reflect attitudes of love in your thoughts and words, as well as in your actions, you build the type of consciousness that will attract back to you circumstances, conditions, and situations of love. Cast your bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give out of that which you wish to receive. Give out of love, that sense of goodwill toward all people, regardless of whether you think they deserve it or not. A sense of goodwill toward people that we know, toward people that we don't know, toward individuals, toward groups of people, is a powerful force for good. We sometimes forget that because it's easy to get caught up in condemnation and all types of feelings against people. Let your attitudes be for people and not against them. Because when you're for them, you see beyond the appearances and behold the Spirit of God within others. While they may not be living up to the highest and best, that essence is still there. And as you reflect that love that comes from that knowledge, you are building the type of awareness, the type of consciousness that will bring back to you like. You will experience love within your life and the goodwill of others as well. Overcome any belief that you have in injustice by decreeing that God's divine law of justice is actively at work in and through all that concerns you. Take control, imagine the best, and let all things reflect love. God is indeed the one presence and one power in life, and God is love. God bless you.